Blog Talk Radio. Imagine creating the body you always desired, stimulating your metabolism, and being happier than you ever thought possible. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book series Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love, Touch, Heal Relationship System, and the 30 Love Lessons for Your Soul. You can also still catch the Men in Love series for a few more days where you can watch all the videos for free, and today's speaker is one of the featured speakers on that event. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can, and often does, get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Dave Sheehan is a competitive triathlete, a Body for Life Challenge champion, and coach of Body for Life Champions for 5 years. He was previously Ireland's NSCA International Competitions coach, shortlisted for UK Gladiators, and has completed the New York and Paris marathons, among others. His corporate clients have included General Electric and Boston Scientific. He recently published the book Metabolic Stimulation System. His 20-plus year career included 10 years of owning and managing his own branded chain of fitness centers with over 50 staff and contractors. So he knows a lot about fitness and wellness, and I'm excited to be speaking with Dave Sheehan. Welcome.
Hi, Erica, and hi to your listeners, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
So please go, I just mentioned some of your background, go into a little more detail about your background, training, and experience that led you to work with health clubs and fitness, and what led you to write this book, and just tell us about that.
Sure. I suppose the most important thing for me was exercise, fitness, nutrition, taking care of your mind, your body, your health. All that area of life became really important to me at around the age of 17. When I got into exercising, when a friend of mine encouraged me to go to the gym. And why it was so important a time for me right then was that I'd spent most of my teenage years, you know, having very poor self-esteem, no self-confidence, being in a very bad mental state for the majority of my life up to that point, and getting into exercise and fitness and health and learning how to take care of myself and how to get a strong, positive mental attitude, it had a transformational effect on my own personal life. And then when it had made an impact on my own life, I felt compelled to make a difference in other people's lives with what I had learned and what I had experienced. And for over 20 years now, I've dedicated my life pretty much to educating, motivating, and inspiring others all over the world on how to regain control of the mind-body health area of life, because it's an area that most people don't prioritize anywhere near enough. It's the area that most people, when they're under time pressure, put on the side, when it's actually the most important area for people to focus on a daily basis. Because when you have control of your mind, body, health, all other areas will have a positive impact because of the catalytic impact from having control of that area. So, you know, for your listeners, I really stress to you the importance of putting time into exercise, putting time into your nutrition, putting time into having quality sleep, and on a daily basis, work on creating a positive mindset, because it will serve you well and you will feel the impact within days and weeks.
Wow. As you started talking, I remembered how important fitness was to me when I was very young. Because in my family, I was kind of suppressed. These were the days where they kind of said children should be seen and not heard. My father used to love to say that. So we were kind of suppressed. But I would go out and play handball and paddleball, and we did some running, and we were very physically active, and that made a huge difference. And then I got into health and physical education. I taught it, and I was fine working out all the time. But then I became chair of the department and was sitting there a lot, and I gained weight. I was doing less exercise. So easy to forget about the exercise, to let it go.
Very much so. And it happens to so many people, whether it be because of their careers, like you shared there, as you became busier and you had more important role to play, it started to get put on the side. Like I was saying earlier, for others, it might be, for instance, mothers who have a child, two children or three children, and for a period of their life, everyone else is the priority and they forget about themselves. And then maybe 10 years later, they decide that they feel bad enough in themselves, and even to a certain level, they feel disgusted in themselves, and they need to do something about it. Whereas, no matter what your life situation, no matter what your commitments are, no matter who's in your life, it's important that you take care of you, because you are the most important person in your life, and it's important what's right for you. And a key foundational daily habits should be exercise, good nutrition, getting quality sleep, and creating that positive mindset. And this is a real root reason why so many people in the modern world, their lives are out of control, they're unhappy, they're unfulfilled, unsatisfied, they don't have good health, diseases are on the rise, everything is on the rise that's negative, when we have a lot more control than people realize. And this is where, if you just take some small baby steps. Go on.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you about nutrition, because, you know, some of us really exercise a lot, and then that was something that happened to me. I just forgot about nutrition. You know, I was eating big meals and you know, not the best food. But even when people try to eat well, you know, they can be very confused. What would you recommend about nutrition? How to even figure it out?
Yeah, no, that's an important question, and this was a big motivation for me in writing Metabolic Stimulation System, because I reached a point where I was getting very frustrated and angry, looking at the confusion in the world from people I would meet, from clients I would have, from just stuff I would see with what people are posting online or with Stephen on TV, and at a time when there's never been so much information available, people are more and more confused, and with bringing up nutrition, nutrition is like 80% of getting the results. Now, you can't exercise out of a bad diet. And a bad diet doesn't necessarily mean that you're living in McDonald's or drinking Pepsi all day or eating bars of chocolate all day. You know, you can be reasonably healthy, but it's not balanced, and that will lead to some negative impacts as well. What I see is the biggest problem for people is they're winging their day. So what I mean by that is they're not planning in advance at all, when most of us have a fairly good idea of how our next day is going to be. So if you take tonight, when you look at tomorrow, most people will have a fairly good idea of the different commitments they have, whether it be with work, whether that's working for someone as an employee, or if it's their own business, if they have any commitments with their children, or meeting friends or any other types of commitments they may have. And what you need to do is take the time to plan and organize and prepare where needed. So, for instance, if someone's going to be traveling a lot, or they're in and out of meetings all day where they literally have minutes to eat, you need to decide when you need to eat, which everybody should be eating every 2.5 to 3 hours. And I just mean snacks. It doesn't have to be a big, huge meal. But plan when you're going to eat, what you're going to eat, and then prepare if needed or purchase as needed. So let's take, for instance, a person who their day starts at 7. So they ideally should eat something around 7, 10 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., about 7 p.m., and then they might be going to bed at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. or so. So there are 5 meals they need to plan for. That might literally be some fruit, some nuts, maybe some smoothie, maybe a pre-made pasta dish in some Tupperware or a sandwich or something like that. Or if you're going to be eating out, look at the menu in advance. For many people or many restaurants, they post their menus online these days on their websites, so you can see in advance. If you eat a particular way that the menu might be conducive to, give them a call, tell them you have certain eating requirements or allergic to certain foods, and have a chat with the manager or the chef and put together what would be reasonably acceptable for you. And most places will be accommodating. Planning and preparing really is the most important thing. Of course, there are certain things that are good to eat and not eat. Most people have a fairly good idea of what good food is and what bad food is, but it's the structure is what's missing. And that time to plan and organize. It's an old saying, but as they say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And that applies in everything in life.
Well, but I have a question. You mentioned a snack of pasta. Well, there's so many people now talking about don't have any gluten and don't have any grains, you know, the only certain grains and you know, what, and cheese, don't have any cheese, you know, so sometimes it's so extreme and maybe you do need some of these things.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
Yeah, sure. Because again, this is part of the confusion. You know, there is so many different types of diets out there and thought processes and, you know, supposed experts even. And there's many voices out there that are telling the general public one thing is right when it's quite conflicting to something else. What I tell people would be to really look at things from a common sense point of view where possible. If you look at grains or things like pasta, sure, the gluten has to be considered. Some people, they have to have something that's non-gluten. And the good thing is with food these days, you can get non-gluten quite easily. You know, it's quite easily accessible. There's such a wide range of products out there these days. But even with pasta, you know, there's rice pasta. You know, there's spelt pasta. So, you know, there's different types of options there that aren't just your typical wheat option. One thing that there's a lot of scaremongering for probably the last 5 to 10 years about carbohydrates and that they're bad for you and grains are bad for you. And what I say to people is, look, every year there needs to be new diets. The whole industry, it's a profit industry at the end of the day, like everything else. And they need to find new angles. Just like people who want to sell programs or books, they need to have a new angle. And sometimes it's not always in the interest of the general public. It's just about creating a new angle. And that's what I see a lot of these new, how would you call it, like thought processes or programs that they're built on. They're not built on real facts, they're not built on the right reasons. It's more just to be different. So if you look at, again, carbohydrate-based foods, our bodies run off carbohydrates. It needs that for energy, whether it be our bodies, whether it be our brains. And we need it, like petrol for cars. So the only thing that's different is in the last probably 20, 30 years, the way food is produced has changed quite a lot. Again, based on the way the food industry and profit and human health is not always the primary concern. It's about speed, it's about size, and it's about how most money can be made. And this is why, unfortunately, so much food is sprayed with every kind of chemical, and we're eating quite differently now than we were before. Now, you know, you could say, right, eliminate all these foods. Well, I'd say, you know, try your best to vary the types of food you're eating so you're getting a wide variety. Try to see the sources of them where you can, eat organic where you can, and wash your food again, another important one. You mentioned cheese as well. Now, cheese is one that I'm very passionate about sharing with people, that it is not good for you, your typical dairy cheese, because we are not designed to break it down in our body. Again, it's made from cow's milk, and, you know, we are not designed to break down our own human milk after the age of about 3 years of age. We need the enzymes renin and lactase. So we can't break down our own. We can't break down any other mammal's milk either. And that's where these products are coming from. So you're best to always go non-dairy. Also, cheese, why it's so addictive, is it has heroin-like properties. So the way people get super addicted to heroin, it's the same. So when you look at people who are looking to give up dairy or move more plant-based, cheese is always the one they find the hardest. It's the one they just, you know, they find, it's like an addiction. And it is, because that's part of the properties it's made up on. So it's important to go with non-dairy versions.
I have to add something, Dave. It's not just that we're addicted to cheese, because I have made an effort to give up cheese. And then every time I go to a restaurant, there's cheese on the salads and there's cheese in the food. I mean, it is so hard. And so tempting, because it tastes good.
Of course. Exactly. And that's the thing. Cheese is now put on everything. We put it on stuff ourselves, but you're dead right. In restaurants, they put it on absolutely everything. And this is where sometimes it's difficult, especially in social situations where you may be eating out. This is why it's important to talk in advance to the manager and the chef, or, you know, be more selective about where you eat if you have the option. Now, if it's a company dinner, or let's say like a Christmas party or a wedding or something like that, that's where you do have to make the phone call or call into the restaurant. Like, we're plant-based ourselves and we do that. We would look for certain restaurants in different cities we might visit, or we'll talk again to the chef, the manager, and explain that we don't eat certain foods. And can we get something together that will satisfy what we eat? And like I said, most places will be accommodating. Just many people are, you know, afraid to ask the question because they feel they might be being awkward or they're going to put the place out. But at the end of the day, it's a service, and their interest should be in serving their customers. And they have every kind of food possible in the restaurant, so there shouldn't be any big issue. So it's just a case of, you know, make that extra bit of effort to talk to the manager or chef. And your own research
and
as
I'd,
well. There's
I'd like
quite
to
a lot
add
of variety
something.
To this.
And another thing that you can do is to ask to have cheese on the side, or, you know, ask for things on the side.
Yep.
So then you don't have
like
to
sauces.
Do that.
Exactly.
Sauces
like
too,
you can
definitely.
Have control. Like, get things on. It's like if you get a salad and there might be like a creamy based dressing might be the only option. Get it on the side, even if it's like a balsamic-based dressing. You know, get it on the side. At least you can control, because in restaurants, any eating establishment, it's all about taste, and taste usually means a lot more fat and sugar than you normally would put into food yourself, because, you know, they want you to come back, and that's natural. The nicer it tastes, the more likely you're going to. But if you have these things on the side, then at least you're in control. And this is the thing with food in general. It's about you being in control. Like I said, with planning tonight, what you're going to eat tomorrow, rather than just waking up and going through the day. If you haven't planned, if you haven't prepared, then you're not in control, because you literally have a minute to eat. There might be a department store nearby. You're just going to maybe grab something wrong there. Or there's a vending machine and your options are, you know, crisps or a bar of chocolate. So, you know, have yourself in control. It's like when I ran my chain of fitness centers in Ireland. I used to often leave at 5:30 in the morning and I mightn't get back till 11 p.m. at night. That's a long time of relying on whether it be popping out the shop or anything like that. Instead, the night before, even though at 11 p.m. at night, the last thing I wanted to do was start preparing food, but it was important to me that I was in control again of my nutrition. It was important for me for my results. It was important for me for my energy, and even for the client's perspective. So I was mentally in top gear so I could serve them as well as possible. So 11 p.m. at night, I would look at the next day, decide when I was going to eat, what would suit to eat, depending on the time I had, and then I would prepare the food. And that often included cooking a few meals, because I'd be eating, you know, with the amount of training I do, I would be eating, you know, quite a number of meals a day. So it would be some snacks and some meals. But preparing, putting that bit of effort in, and this is where desire comes in. How much do you really want your results? You know, what's your why? You know, is your why big enough?
Wow, this is so valuable what you're saying, because I'm thinking about people will plan. They'll plan for a party, they'll plan for a wedding, they'll plan for a date, they'll do all kinds of planning. But for trips and vacations, they'll plan. But for their own wellness and nutrition, a lot of people won't do any planning. For their fitness, like I have a goal this year of walking 1,000 miles for the year. It is pushing me on these days when I really don't want to go to the health club and don't want to do that extra working out. But I know if I don't, I'm not going to keep up, so I get there because I have a goal.
Exactly.
And we need that same goal for our nutrition.
Yeah, and this is the unfortunate thing in the world, and it's down to how fast-paced the world is. Like, that's a big part of it. You know, the world is getting faster and faster, and this is where, when that happens, people are putting on the side their exercise and their nutrition. When things are really stressful, that's when you really need those things. That's when you really need to prioritize and organize. Like yourself with your walk, you need to plan when you're going to go to the health club and fit it into your day around everything else. So it's prioritizing, which you're doing right now and fantastically for quite a number of months now. You know, so people need to, again, realize that, look, I need to put some time into this. And you're dead right. People, again, for parties, for holidays, for anything, for work even, look at the amount of effort people put into their jobs, whether it be their own business or it's a career and they're working for somebody. They need to put in even 10% of that much effort into organizing themselves for their exercise and nutrition, and they would see such a huge difference in their lives.
Right. Well, that's a big piece of it, as you explained, the organizing and planning. But tell us more about your metabolic stimulation system. What's involved?
Sure.
And how do you stimulate your metabolism?
Perfect. Like I said earlier, a big motivation for me in writing it was to try clear up the confusion. So what metabolic stimulation system is geared towards and its goal is to clear that confusion and to give people a step-by-step guide to not just achieving fast results, but achieving lifelong results. Because the industry is, again, full of people telling you you're going to transform your whole life and body in just a few weeks. You know, get ready for a holiday, get ready for a wedding. It's all short-term basis. And when you just have a short-term goal, when you've got to that goal, your mind switches off. And especially if during the period towards the goal, you have felt deprived. Because when you feel deprived, when that goal ends or when that journey ends, you're going to revert to old habits. So what metabolic stimulation system is about is creating positive habits, but doing it at your pace. So a simple example would be water. If you drink 500 milliliters of water right now, to get to drinking even 1 liter of water per day, which would be about 2 pints or so, because I'm not sure if you go by pints or liters, but just for 1 week, just to do that, just to not forget about 2, 3, 4, 5 liters, just get 1 liter for 7 days. Make that a habit, then build on that to 1.25 or 1.5. And do the same for every area of your life. Exercise, nutrition, the sleep, your mindset, all those areas. So every day, like I say in a lot of my live trainings, when you open your eyes every morning, your sole goal should be to take one, just even one, positive, progressive step forward towards your goals. So it's with that mindset of achieving lifelong results. In terms of stimulating your metabolism, food and exercise, your nutrition and your exercise are key parts of it. With the exercise, unfortunately, while there's millions around the world exercising every day and more people are conscious of being active, which is fantastic, they're not doing the exercise that's effective for losing fat and achieving long-term results, because it boils down to how effectively you're stimulating metabolism. So your metabolism is throughout the day, but also we have a basal metabolic rate, which is at rest. So So whether we're lying down, we're sitting down, we're driving, we're sleeping, we're burning a certain number of calories. So we want to raise that higher and higher. So we're burning more calories at rest. We also want to burn more calories as a result of our exercise. So with exercise, what's key for effectiveness for burning the most calories and raising your metabolism for cardio would be HIIT type training, which means high intensity interval training. Now, high intensity is all relative. For someone, it might be a short, slow walk and then a bit faster walk. Someone else might be jogging, then sprinting. But what you do is you take a period of time, let's say 2 minutes, where you go at a steady pace. You might then do 20 or 30 seconds where you go at a faster pace. And you go up and down like that for 15, 20 minutes. That will then stimulate your metabolism far more than if someone exercises for 2, 3, even 4 hours a day at a lower intensity type exercise. So like it's important for people to exercise, and that's the important first step. But when you want to step it up to get faster results, that's where HIIT training is so important. The most effective training and most important training for metabolism, as well as for bone health, preventing bone disease, for general toning, is resistance training. Everybody, no matter who they are, age, shape, size, needs resistance training. That doesn't necessarily have to be in the gym. It could be at home using just your body. It could be out in the garden using rocks. It doesn't matter what it is once you're doing some form of resistance training. And why resistance training is so important is for every pound of muscle you gain to your body, you're going to increase the amount of calories you're burning. Plus, when you do weight training or resistance training on a regular basis, which might even be just twice a week, 20 or 30 minutes a time, you're burning calories 24/7. So even when you're asleep, you're burning calories. So the more muscle mass you add, the more calories you burn. Now, for the females who are listening, that might sound scary in terms of, oh, muscle mass, I don't want to get big. Don't worry, you can't get big. Women are designed to not get big like a guy can because it comes down to testosterone. So men have a lot more testosterone, a little bit estrogen. Women have mainly estrogen, a little bit of testosterone. So even if a lady is pushing 100 kilos on an exercise, she's not going to get big and muscly. She'll get nice and toned. So it's all relative to your body shape and how much, and your sex, of course, how much muscle mass you're actually going to build. But for raising metabolism, it's key you do resistance training. It's key you do HIIT training for cardio. And then the nutrition, like I said earlier, is 80% of results. You need to feed your body the right food. So that means eating regular. So every 2.5, 3 hours, that keeps your metabolism elevated. So small, balanced meals. Have meals that have carbohydrates, good fats, proteins, vitamins and minerals. Keep hydrated. Even by drinking a lot of water, your metabolism will get stimulated and your whole body will work more effectively and efficiently. So you're going to burn a lot more calories that way, because also you're detoxifying your body by drinking lots of water. So, you know, there's lots of little pieces to the jigsaw, but this is why it's important for people to look and see, what area do I need to improve first? Maybe you're not doing any cardio, or maybe you are, but you're not doing HIIT type training. Maybe you've never lifted a weight or done a body weight exercise like a press up or squat. Maybe it's your nutrition you need to look at. It might be something as simple as increasing your water or decreasing your coffee, soft drinks, or alcohol, which are all diuretics, which takes water from your body. Or maybe you need to improve your sleep, because remember, sleep is when your body actually recovers. So if you're not getting quality sleep, even if your exercise is great, even if your nutrition is great, your results are going to be limited. Your metabolic increase is going to be limited, because sleep is the period of time each day your body recovers, regenerates the cells, builds lean muscle, get your body burning calories, losing fat. So it's getting all those areas together. And the other fourth key part of metabolic stimulation system is about mindset. Because if you're not in the right mindset, and if you don't get your mind shifted to thinking about lifestyle, as opposed to always thinking short-term quick fixes, it's going to be quite hard for you to sustain an exercise and nutrition program long-term, because you're all the time thinking of short-term, which means you're looking for an end. You need to think long-term. Think about life. Make changes and create positive habits that you're going to maintain forever. Because what's the point in putting all the work and all the sacrifice into achieving the body shape you want and the health that you want, only to within a couple of months after reverting to old habits, throw it all away again. So you're better off to take the steps and get there and keep it than possibly get there quicker, but throw it away within a few months. So that's some key tips in terms of raising metabolism.
It's wonderful what you're sharing. And I'd like to add something to this, that once you set a goal that's long-term, like my goal is to walk 1,000 miles, and then sometimes I can't get to the health club. So I have actually walked around the halls in my building and even in within my apartment just to add those extra miles in with my Fitbit. And the other thing I've recently done is with shopping, you have to shop for food. You've got to buy the food and have it in the house in order to cook it. So those packages that in the past I used to think, oh, they're so heavy, I buy a lot of water and it's heavy. Now I use them as a way to do a little weightlifting. So I wanted to add that you can be really clever within your own lifestyle to add weight training, resistance training, you know, and exercise.
One thing's important you said there, Erica, I just want to add to it. You know, it's great having a plan. I've spoken a lot about planning. It's important to have it, but life throws curveballs all the time. And while we might have a plan A, it may not always come to fruition. So it's important that when, like you said, you could get to the health club, instead of moaning about it and feeling bad and going, oh, I can't exercise, do something about it. Go to plan B. As you said, you walk around the corridors and the area that you're in. You know, so don't let setbacks or challenges stop you. Just find an alternative. And also, if you plan to exercise for 40 minutes, but because the day goes off of it and you only can do 10 minutes, 10 minutes is still better than nothing. So just always make sure you tick the box you did something and don't feel bad if you can't do as much as normal. As I said, move to plan B if plan A is not possible.
Yeah, great. So, Dave, how can people get in touch with you and how can they get your book?
Okay, great. If anyone wants to order Metabolic Stimulation System, if you search for it on Amazon, it's available on all Amazons around the world. Also, anyone wanting to get in contact with me, I'm across all social media. So even if you just go into Google and put in Dave Sheehan, you'll see all my different social medias. And feel free to contact me anytime if you've got questions. I put up a lot of free content every single day, whether it be Facebook Lives or YouTube Lives or Snapchat or Instagram. Just make sure you're spelling it for Sheehan, S-H-E-A-H-A-N. Sometimes people put double E and they won't find me that way. So Dave Sheehan to Google, all my details will come up and contact me any way you wish. And make sure you grab your copy of Metabolic Stimulation System on Amazon.
Thank you so much for participating in the Men in Love series and for this wonderful interview today.
My pleasure, Erica. Thanks for having me, and thanks to your listeners.
And I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get a free report about how to live to 100 and beyond and be healthy. And if you're ready to create lasting love, check out the next 30-day love challenge, Love Lessons for Your Soul, which will be starting again pretty soon. Look forward to speaking to you again soon.